the General Motors Hour. General Motors Holdens, through the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations in all states, present Invitation to Murder, starring Nigel Lovell and Thelma Scott. This is John Deese introducing our play. Janet and Martin Stone outwardly were a successful and conventional married couple. Successful because the business Janet had inherited was prosperous. Conventional because their joint life appeared to follow the usual pattern of people in their circumstances. But the outward appearance concealed a very different life, which had in it the makings of a violent explosion. As our play unfolds, we shall see just what did come out of this strained relationship. Invitation to Murder is by English writer Frank Rennie, whose play Release was so successfully broadcast in the General Motors Hour a few months ago. As Janet and Martin Stone, we star two distinguished players, Thelma Scott and Nigel Lovell. They're supported by John Holden, Brian Anderson, Jeffrey King, Charles McCallum, Patty Crocker, and Wynne Nelson. The play will be produced by Harry Harper. Ladies and gentlemen, Act One of the General Motors Hour production of Invitation to Murder.
Pass me the toast, please. Martin.
Oh, sorry. Did you say something?
Merely a request to pass the toast. You're very preoccupied this morning. What's the matter with you?
Really, Janet, why should you think there's anything wrong just because I failed to hear?
Oh, never mind. Just pass the toast and have done with it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you'd finished breakfast, Mrs. Stone.
That's all right, Elsie. You can take everything except the coffee. You might pour me another cup as well, Martin. Do you mind?
It would help if you passed your cup.
Oh, Elsie, did you pack my overnight bag?
Yes, madam. I put it ready in the hall.
Good. Then you can put it in the car for me, Martin.
I'll pick it up on the way out. When are you returning?
Well, let me see. Tuesday today. I'll dine with Brenda and Paul tonight. The Rutherford meeting tomorrow. Oh, and I must call on Samson Locker Limited on Thursday.
Well, I didn't know we did any business with Samson Locker.
There are quite a lot of things about the firm which you apparently don't know, Martin.
Is that surprising? You're the managing director. I'm only the personnel manager.
I'll come back for the rest later, madam.
And I fail to see why you should always consider it necessary to try and humiliate me in front of the maid.
You humiliate yourself by your lack of knowledge. If you showed a little more interest as to what goes on in the firm...
Chance would be a fine thing.
Oh, so we're back to that, are we? You still think you should be on the board of directors, I suppose.
Well, why not? After all, I am your husband.
Oh, the fact that you're my husband doesn't necessarily make you a fit person to direct the policy of a firm the size of J. Stone Limited.
Well, the least you could do is to give me the opportunity to show...
You've had the opportunity to show your capabilities. And you haven't shown any yet. No doubt you think because you changed your name...
That's not true. When we got married 5 years ago, I changed my name to yours solely because I knew you were proud of the firm your father had built up.
I have reason to be.
I took it for granted that as you'd been managing director since your father's death, that you'd remain so. And so, I thought you'd like to retain the name of Stone.
Thoughtful of you. Of course, it never crossed your mind that it also might be a more suitable name for you to bear as a co-director.
Well, what if it did? That's not unreasonable, is it? But all you did was to make me personnel manager.
It never occurred to you that it was essential to learn all about the business before you became a co-director of mine.
Well, I didn't complain then. That was 5 years ago.
And you still haven't bothered to learn anything?
No. Because you've taken good care that I haven't. But these trips you make to London...
When you used to come with me, you made no contribution at all.
You said you valued my social contacts.
Oh, you're very good at your social graces, for what they're worth. But as soon as I got to discussing business with people, you were bored to death and you showed it.
That's not fair. Merely because I didn't pick everything up right away, you...
You never tried to pick anything up. You never tried because you weren't interested. You're only interested in the position and the money that goes with it.
Well, that's your fault because you keep everything from me.
Oh, nonsense. Take this proposed contract with Samson Lockers. You could have asked me about that months ago.
Yes, and have to listen to a lecture from you on high finance as if I was a small boy.
You behave like a small boy.
And small boys have to stay in minor positions and do what they're told, isn't that it?
If you like to put it that way.
If I like.
When you show me you're fitted to be a co-director of mine, I'll make you one, Martin. Now, I think it's time we were moving.
Oh, yes. We mustn't be late. The managing director must set a good example.
Nobody expects that kind of example from me. It just so happens that I'm interested in the firm.
Perhaps you have the incentive to be interested.
Since the allowance I make you and the salary you draw both come from the firm...
Oh, spare me the lecture. Come on, let's go. Are you going to drive?
No, you drive. I've got some papers to look at. Oh, now you haven't put my bag in the car.
All right, I'll get it. No harm done. It won't take a minute.
I should have thought you could at least have remembered that. I'm in a hurry.
Here's the bag, Mr. Stone. You'll want that.
Oh, I was just coming back for it. Thanks, Elsie.
Will you be in at the usual time this evening, sir?
Oh, I don't know. As Mrs. Stone is going to be away for a couple of days, you might as well take the time off.
Will it be all right, sir? I mean, what about you?
Oh, I'll have my meals down at the club. You pop off home at lunchtime today, Elsie. You needn't come back until Thursday.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Chief Cashier?
Oh, Davis. Did you leave the £50 out for my wife? You know she's going to London tonight.
Yes, that's all right. I've just taken it up to Mrs. Stone.
Oh, good. Well, will you ask Wilkins to have the car outside at 4:45? I'm driving Mr. Stone to the station.
Certainly, Mr. Stone. I'll see to that.
Thanks. Well, that's fixed. 5 minutes and I must go greet her.
What time shall I meet you, Martin?
Oh, suppose we say 5:30.
Where?
Well, I thought we might have a cocktail at the Grand, first of all.
Well, in that case, you'd better make it 6, darling. I want to change.
All right. 6 o'clock at the Grand, then.
Lovely. But I hope we don't run into old Higson again.
Oh, that's very unlikely. Anyway, there's no earthly reason why I shouldn't take my secretary for a drink, is there?
It shows what a considerate employer you are.
And what a fascinating secretary I've got. Oh. Martin Stone.
Oh, Martin, I shan't be through in time to get the 5 o'clock. I'll have to take the 6:15.
What's the trouble, Janet?
No trouble. I want to check this contract with Rutherford's before I go.
Well, shall I order a taxi for you?
I told you I want you to drive me to the station. It won't hurt you to wait another hour.
Well, it seems a bit unnecessary.
Why? You're not doing anything particular tonight, are you?
Oh, all right, I'll see to it.
Martin.
Yes?
Would you like to take a couple of days off and come with me?
Well, there's the weekly departmental meeting tomorrow. I should be there.
Very well, 6 o'clock then.
Anything wrong?
She's not going until the 6:15. Well, I've got to wait and drive her to the station.
Oh, is that all? I thought perhaps she wasn't going away at all.
Oh, there's no fear of that. Our managing director can smell new business. She wouldn't miss that.
Then what's worrying you?
It's odd.
What?
Janet hasn't suggested that I went with her for a long time.
Just a sudden whim, I expect.
No, that isn't like Janet. She doesn't have sudden whims. She thinks things out carefully and she never does the obvious. Oh, let's forget it. I wish she'd gone on the 5 o'clock, though.
It's only another hour to wait.
5 minutes too long.
Oh, darling, you say the nicest thing. What is it?
I thought I heard someone. Wait a minute. No, nothing. Nobody there.
Oh, you're getting jumpy, darling.
Yes, it won't do at all. All the same, Greta, I think you better go now. Janet might come down and she'd wonder why you're still here.
All right. At the Grand, then?
I'll be there at 6:30.
Lovely. Oh, we'll have 2 whole days. Martin, what about her maid? Will she talk?
No, I've taken care of that. I told her this morning that she could take a couple of days off.
You think of everything.
Thank you.
breakfast, Jim.
It was a bit too loud. Ah, that's better. Soft and romantic, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, let's have some wine. Something to match the moment.
The moment?
The golden moment. A golden wine, a golden dress, and a golden girl. To you.
To our star.
You look wonderful.
Oh, careful, and you'll spill the wine. Oh,
sorry, put your glass down.
No, not yet. I want to talk.
You look very serious.
I am serious, Martin. That's why I want to talk.
What about?
About us, and about your wife.
Well, why turn the radio off? And why do you have to mention Janet?
Because you can't discount her.
Look, why should she worry you? You don't care about her.
I care about me and about us. We have a few stolen moments.
Well, there'll be others.
Dependent on your wife's decisions.
Well, you haven't minded before.
I haven't said anything. I hoped I wouldn't have to. I thought perhaps you would.
What do you want me to do?
Oh, Martin, why are you so frightened of your wife?
I'm not.
Darling, let's try to be honest.
All right, what makes you think I'm frightened of Janet?
Everything you say and do, and everything you don't do.
I don't understand.
Do you love me?
You know I do.
Then let's go away together. Not like this, not a couple of days hurriedly snatched.
But you make longer trips.
A week, a fortnight? No, Martin, I mean for good.
What are you saying?
Come away with me, leave your wife.
But I can't.
I see. Give me a cigarette, will you?
Well, I agree to try and understand.
A cigarette? Thanks. You don't really love me.
Darling, I do love you, but...
But! That's what I mean.
But don't you see, Greedy? What you ask is impossible.
Impossible?
Look, I'd leave it tomorrow, but... What would we live on?
I don't understand. You've got money.
Not a penny. Oh, there's my salary at the works. Janet makes me an allowance.
And you'd lose both those. Yes, I see that. But you could get other work.
What other work? As a personnel manager? Reference. Last employer was my wife. She sacked me and is divorcing me.
Well, surely there must be something. What about before you married?
Oh, I had a private income, shares. But now, they're worthless.
So you married Janet?
Well, Janet knew my position. It was a bargain, that's all.
What kind of bargain?
Well, Janet wanted a husband with social contacts. I wanted security. We got on well enough, and I thought it would work out, but... Well, it did for a while, but I didn't know how difficult she could be. We started quarreling. She taunted me, and then... I met you.
Better if you hadn't.
No. Greta, you're not going to leave me, are you? I couldn't do without you.
But you can't do without Janet either. You need her money.
Greta.
You've admitted it. You've got to face things, Martin.
Well, there must be a way out somehow.
The way out is for you to make a choice. You'll have to do it sometime.
Well, give me time and I'll find a way. But you must go on seeing me. I'd be lost without you.
But don't you see? You've got to do something. We can't go on like this forever.
Say you love me. Say you love me enough to wait, darling.
It would appear you haven't been too lonely while I've been away, Mark.
Janet! I thought...
You thought I was safely in London and you could enjoy yourself. Don't tell me the obvious.
Mrs. Stone, please understand...
Don't bother to explain because I shouldn't believe you.
I'm not denying that Martin
and I... Very wise of you. Very wise indeed. Useless to waste your breath with denials when I can see quite plainly what you are.
You've no right to assume because I love your
that
husband...
That you make a habit of loving husbands? I see. You're just a beginner.
I mean that I love him, which is more than you do.
Indeed. It looks as if you've loved yourself out of a job. Well, you've said your little piece, so now you can go. Go on, get out.
Martin!
Save your breath. My husband stays.
Martin, you have to make your choice now.
I said my husband stays. You obviously don't know him as well as I do.
Martin, if you don't come
now... He can't come. Now or any other time. You see, he hasn't any money.
And you think you can buy anything with yours, sitting on it like a bloated spider.
Get out. Get out of my house.
Martin.
Get out. Do you hear? Get out.
Martin.
Now I've got rid of that woman. We'll have a little talk, Martin.
And so ends Act One of our play. Millions of pounds invested in plant and equipment will not alone make a firm prosperous or win fame for its products. People are the deciding factor. The men and women who man the machines, create the designs, conduct the research, type the letters and check the details essential to production, distribution and sales. Close on 19,400 people are directly employed by General Motors Holdens. And the company is particularly proud of the harmonious relations existing between management and personnel in its 10 busy interstate plants. Every man who works for GMH knows he will get a fair go. And if he wants to better himself, he will be offered practical encouragement and the kind of opportunities only a large and expanding company can provide. Wages, for example, are high at General Motors Holdens. During the last financial year, GMH payrolls reached a record 20.75 million pounds. Through the medium of the GMH service loading and other plans, hourly rate personnel alone received 1.75 million pounds over and above the established award. But good money and excellent working conditions are only half the story. Later this evening, I shall be pleased to outline some of the social and educational activities which play such an important part in maintaining the well-being of the 19,400 Australians who make more and better things for more people at General Motors Holdens. And now Act Two of the General Motors Hour production of Invitation to Murder.
I must remind you, Mr. Stone, as your counsel, that you're on trial for the murder of your wife. Now, you told us at yesterday's hearing how your wife discovered your liaison with Miss Pierce. And this entirely coincides with the evidence given by her. We know that Miss Pierce left the firm immediately and went to London. Did you see her again?
No, I'd never seen Greta again until the trial.
Until you saw her in court, precisely. Did you try to reach a reconciliation with your wife?
Yes, I tried everything, but Janet refused to listen to me.
And this went on for some time?
Yes, but Janet was immovable. After about a month, I was determined to have things out with her. But she wasn't easy to approach.
I told you to keep out of my room. Do I have to lock the door?
Janet, I must talk to you.
There's nothing to discuss.
But there is. Look, we can't go on like this. We hardly speak to each other in the house. You avoid me at home and you slight me at work. I'm not going to stand it anymore.
Indeed. That's very interesting. What are you going to do?
Well, we must do something. We can't go on like this.
Perhaps you can't. I can.
But it's all so futile.
What do you suggest? A big reconciliation, see?
Well, why not? If we're going to continue living together, we've got to come to some understanding. Or are you getting tired of me as a husband?
Not getting tired. I got tired of you about 2 years ago when I discovered you'd only married me for my money.
That's not true.
Don't bother to try and justify yourself. I'm not interested.
If you really feel like that, why can't we part amicably? You don't want me, yet you force me to stay. Why?
I'll tell you why. Because I've bought you for what you're worth as a husband. Now you're going to keep your part of the bargain.
You can't make me.
Can't I? I think I can.
I can walk out?
Oh, yes, you could walk out, but you won't.
Not very sure.
Because I know you, Martin. Why didn't you walk out a month ago at your girlfriend's invitation?
I thought we might make it up.
You mean you thought you could carry on with your little affair and still get paid by me? Well, I've stopped that. And you don't like it, do you?
Don't drive me too far.
I'll drive you as far as I like. If you don't like it, you can go. Walk out now, if you like. Go to your lady love. She's in London, as no doubt you know.
I gave you my word I wouldn't see her, and I've kept
it. Yes, you've kept it, all right. I've seen to that. No trips to London, Martin, or you're finished. Of course, you've spoken to her on the telephone.
You've no reason to...
Oh, I'm not worried about that. A telephone's a poor substitute for reality, isn't it? You only make it worse for yourself that way.
Why can't you accept the fact that I've stayed with you?
Oh, I have. But you're staying on my terms, not yours.
What do you mean?
You know what'll happen if you leave me, and you don't relish the prospect. You'd have to start working for your living, and you wouldn't like that.
I told you I'll stay with you.
I know you will, but you're going to behave yourself. Try and see that girl or any other, and you're out. Out of here and out of the firm, on your neck.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Very clearly. And now, hadn't you better get along to the office?
Aren't you coming?
You know perfectly well I'm going up to London today. Pity you can't come. Don't worry, though. I shall be back late tonight.
Well, any instructions before you go?
You'll attend the weekly meeting, of course.
Well, naturally, they're bringing up the complaint about the late payment of wages.
Did you investigate the reason?
I spoke to the chief cashier. Davis says he's understaffed. He wanted to draw the money from the bank today.
Well?
I told him he'd have to draw it on Friday morning, as usual, and work harder.
You told him that? Davis has been with my firm for nearly 30 years, and you spoke to him like that? Haven't you any idea of handling staff?
Well, I don't see why you should...
Tell Davis he can draw the money today.
But it'll mean keeping it in the safe overnight. I don't think...
Exactly, you don't think. You never do think. Tell him to draw the money today. Those are my instructions. Tell him so.
Very well.
Oh, Martin.
Yes?
One more point.
What is it now?
I'll set your mind at rest about one thing. I haven't altered my will. You still get my money when I die.
Why tell me that?
You tried to get the keys of my desk.
I...
Don't bother to deny it. Your anxiety is perfectly natural. But to save you the trouble, the will is at my solicitor's. You can call and see it any time you like. I've given them instructions.
Do you think I care?
Oh, but you do. And I know you do. That's why I'm telling you. Behave yourself and you get your reward. Eventually. Of course, you may have to wait a long time.
Aren't you afraid that I might try and kill you?
You might like to, but you haven't got the nerve.
Don't be too sure of that.
Do you think you can frighten me? If you want to kill me, go ahead. You've only got to put your hands around my throat and squeeze. Well, why don't you? Because you haven't got the nerve.
Oh, is that my London call? Thank you. Rita, how are you, darling?
Martin, I asked you not to phone me at the office.
Well, I had to speak to you. Are you all right?
Yes. Now I've made the break, I'm getting over things, settling down.
Oh, Greta, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, Martin, you've said that so many times. We must be sensible, it's all over. I see now that you couldn't give up your position. I shouldn't have asked you, I realize that. You would only have hated me if you'd lost everything.
Yeah, but don't you understand? I'm going to leave her.
Why? What's happened?
Well, I thought of a way. I can't tell you now, but trust me, Greta. Wait another month.
Has Janet agreed?
Oh, will you wait, darling?
I'll wait. But not indefinitely, Martin.
Another month. That's all.
All right.
Oh, I'll ring you tomorrow. Come in. Oh, yes, Davis.
The check for the wages, Mr. Stone. I think there's some mistake.
Mistake?
Why, yes. Miss Brand said you wanted the check cashed today.
Oh, that's right.
But we don't draw the money for the wages until Friday morning, Mr. Stone.
We've been late paying the wages. Draw the money today. It'll give you more time.
But the money will be on the premises overnight.
Well, what of it? We've got a safe, haven't we?
Yes, but it seems an unnecessary risk.
We've had money on the premises before.
I know, but I've never liked it. Suppose anything happens.
Why should anything happen? Anyway, those were Mrs. Stone's instructions before she left this morning.
Yes, but I still don't really think...
You don't have to. You're not the managing director.
No, sir.
And neither am I. So we just carry out the managing director's instructions. Hey, Davis?
Very good, sir. But I hope you'll remember that I queried the instructions, sir.
Janet! Why, you're back early.
Well, don't just stand there. What's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing. Just that I was surprised to see you. You said you'd be late.
So you don't regard 11 as late? And where have you been? Don't tell me you've been working until this time.
Oh, I called in at the Grand for a drink.
I always thought the bar closed at 10. That they'd taken to serving drinks after hours.
Oh, I drove around for a little while. Well, why shouldn't I? Do I have to account to you for every movement?
Don't bluster, Martin. Because if I choose to insist, you do have to account for every movement.
All right, I'll get the map and show you where I went.
Don't bother, I'm not interested. I merely wondered why you were so nervous. Now, who on earth can that be at this time of night?
Well, I'll see, it's probably a wrong number.
No, I'll answer it. Hello? No, this is Mrs. Stone speaking. Yes, Mr. Stone is here. Who wants him? I see.
Who is it?
The police, Martin.
The police? What do they want?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. I was speaking to my husband. Oh, I see. Shall we come down? Yes, I understand that. All right, in the morning then, Inspector. Goodbye.
Well, what are you looking at me like that for?
It seems I've underestimated your talents, Martin.
I don't know what you mean.
Your concern about the welfare of the firm. I should have listened to you. You see, you were perfectly right in thinking it was dangerous to leave money on the premises overnight. You say there were two men, Inspector?
Yes, Mrs. Stone. One struck the night watchman, the other blew open the safe. We've caught one of them. He was shot in the arm.
And the other?
I'm afraid he got clean away with the money. Drove off in a car.
Oh, that's bad. What about the car?
Nobody got a good look at it, sir. Black, they think.
Well, that doesn't help you very much then, Inspector. There are thousands of black cars. It was probably stolen anyway.
Quite possibly, sir.
What about the man you caught? Can't he give any information about his confederate, or won't he talk?
Oh, he's talking all right. He's talked quite a lot.
What did he say?
Well, I'm coming to that in a moment, sir. There's a little point I'd like to get cleared up first.
What is it?
I understand that you gave the cashier instructions to draw the money for the wages on the Thursday, Mr. Stone.
They were my instructions before I left for London, Inspector.
Oh, I see. Might I ask why, madam?
Well, the banks don't open till 10. I didn't think they had long enough to make up the wages. They've been late paying out before.
I see. You didn't tell the chief cashier yourself.
I told my husband. He's the personnel manager.
And your husband, of course, passed on the instructions to Mr. Davis. Well, that clears that up. And now this man Simpkins.
The man you caught?
Yes, sir. He's one of the workmen here, isn't he?
Yes.
So he'd know, of course, where the gelignite was stored.
Oh, everybody knows where the whereabouts of the explosive shed.
But I thought you said it was the other man.
Oh, yes. It was the other man who blew the safe.
How do you know?
The night watchman heard the explosion just before he was hit from behind. And Simpkins hit the night watchman. He admits it. What I'm wondering is whether the other man worked in the firm as well.
Quite possibly. We're over 600 on the payroll, Inspector.
In any case, surely they were both in it together.
I don't think so, sir. The other man shot Simpkins.
If his story is true.
He's got a bullet in his arm, sir.
They might have still been working together. Perhaps they quarreled over the money.
Well, surely in that case, Simpkins would give him away now.
What does Simpkins say?
According to Simpkins, he never even saw the other man.
Then he can't identify him.
No, sir.
Then how did Simpkins get shot?
Well, Simpkins says he saw a light and climbed over the wall to investigate. He heard a noise, rushed in, and hit the night watchman in mistake for a burglar.
It was an odd mistake to make.
Yes, sir. Anyway, as he hit the night watchman, he says he heard the explosion. So he rushed upstairs. He saw a man coming out of the cashier's office, and the man fired twice and hit Simpkins in the arm. Then the man got away.
This whole story sounds a bit thin to me.
I quite agree, sir. He broke in after the money, all right. But the other man had got there first. But if Simpkins sticks to his story, we may have a job to pin anything on him. You see, part of it is obviously true.
How do you know?
The bullet that Miss Simpkins lodged in the plaster. We've recovered it. That shows where Simpkins was standing. We found two spent cartridges at the other end of the passage outside the cashier's office.
If the cartridges were ejected, it must have been an automatic pistol then.
That's right, madam. .38, probably a Luger, I think.
Can you tell from the cartridges?
Pretty well. We'll be able to identify the gun they were fired from, too, when we find it.
I see. A Luger 38, you think?
Yes, madam. Do you know of anyone who has one?
No, I was just thinking there can't be all that many about. Don't you agree, Martin?
Yes.
It'll turn up sooner or later. Probably when we least expect it.
Sit down, Martin. Now we're back at home, we can talk undisturbed.
What about?
Why, the robbery, of course.
What about the robbery?
I want to know what you've done with the money. £9,000, where is it? Have you
gone crazy?
Or would you like me to ring the police and tell them I know you have a Luger 38?
That was a long time ago. I haven't seen it for years. I don't even know where it is.
Then we must find it and prove your innocence.
Oh, don't be absurd. How will finding an old gun prove my innocence?
I should imagine the police can tell if a gun has been fired recently. The inspector said they could match the cartridges with the gun.
I tell you, I haven't seen it for years. Why should you think I did the robbery? The whole thing's fantastic.
If your gun hasn't been fired, I'll apologize most humbly.
Well, that's something you'll never know because I haven't the faintest idea where it is.
I'll ring for the maid.
What do you want Elsie for?
Perhaps she's seen the gun recently.
She hasn't. Oh, you're just being spiteful.
No, I'm only trying to help you to clear yourself.
Look, I've known
you. Oh, yes, you have. And I'm going to see that you do. Elsie is going to look for your gun and she's going to go on looking until she finds it. Well?
Janet, don't be a fool. Think of the scandal.
I thought you'd break. Now, where's the money? Quickly, before Elsie comes in. Where is the money, Martin?
It's in a briefcase in my bedroom.
You rang, madam?
Oh, yes, Elsie. Mr. Stone has left his briefcase upstairs in his bedroom. Would you mind getting it for me?
Oh, certainly, madam. Whereabouts is it?
Where did you say it was, Martin?
It's in the bottom of my wardrobe. But it's locked. You'll need the wardrobe key.
Thank you, sir.
Janet, what are you going to do?
I haven't decided yet.
I can put it back.
Can you? How?
Well, we could find it.
Find it? Where would we find it?
Well, I'd say we found it in a ditch along the road. The man drove off in a car. We could say he must have dropped it.
Why should he drop it in a ditch out of his car?
We could make some marks as if he'd skidded. The police wouldn't worry too much as long as the money was recovered. And if you back me
I
up...
I certainly wouldn't back you up on a ridiculous story like that. You know, Martin, I don't think you make a very good criminal. Oh, I know you're only an amateur. But you seem to be a failure at that as you are at everything.
Well, you drove me to it.
Even your excuses are so pitifully weak.
Here it is, madam.
Oh, thank you, Elsie. My word, isn't it bulky? Full of papers, I suppose. You must have been working very hard, Martin.
Will that be all, madam?
Oh, yes, thank you, Elsie. That's all I want. We'll have tea in half an hour.
Very good, madam.
Now, I'll have the key to the briefcase, Martin.
Janet, you've got to keep quiet about this. You daren't give me away to the police.
Daren't?
You couldn't bear the name of Stone being dragged through the police courts.
Yes, you would think of that. The key, Martin.
Promise
the
me...
The key, Martin. Hand it over. That's better. £9,000 in hard cash. Quite a useful sum. Oh, and one Luger 38, which you hadn't seen for years. Two shots fired. The police would be interested. Just think. This gun could send you to prison for 5 years.
Janet, please.
Don't whine. I'm not going to say anything to the police.
Well, what about the money?
It stays here in my private safe as a guarantee of your good behavior.
I don't understand.
You don't have to. All that concerns you in the future, Martin, is that you do what you're told. You may not like it very much, but you haven't any choice, have you?
Oh, it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, yes, it does. You can't walk out now, ever. I suppose you reckoned on starting a new life with your girlfriend on the proceeds of the robbery. No question of that either. Now or ever, is there?
What do you expect me to say?
Nothing. I'll cover up for you so you won't go to prison. But you won't go to your girlfriend either. When I crack the whip, you're going to dance. Now, pass me that gun.
My gun!
Well? Why don't you fire? Don't just stand there pointing it at me. Squeeze the trigger.
You don't care, do you?
Why should I? I'm going to die anyway.
What do you mean?
I've been having a lot of pain lately. I went to see a specialist whilst I was in town. That's why I got back earlier.
And did he tell you?
Yes. He gave me 2 months. Possibly three, with care.
Well, I never dreamt of... Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't bother to pretend. You were longing to kill me just now.
Well, I lost my head for a moment, but... This?
Martin, spare me the mask of sorrow. Why, you're already thinking of how you're going to enjoy yourself when I'm dead.
Oh, Janet, don't say things like that. We mustn't quarrel.
You mean you mustn't quarrel. You must play the considerate husband, in case I alter my will.
Oh, Janet, at a time like
but
this...
But don't worry, I shan't. Not because of any affection, Martin. But it will amuse me to see you hoping.
How can you say such things?
And as long as I don't alter it, you'll put up with anything to get my money. And you'll have to put up with a lot.
Don't you just say that to torment me?
Oh, no. The specialist was quite definite. Just think, Martin. That £9,000 is nothing to what you'll have in 2 or 3 months. But you're going to have to earn it. I'm going to enjoy myself while I'm still here, watching you writhe.
And so ends Act Two of our play. General Motors Holdens is big business. Big not only in the sense of its physical resources, the number of motor vehicles it produces, but big, too, in its conceptions and aims. Because it is big in outlook, GMH has an added sense of responsibility towards the 19,400 employees who have helped and are continuing to help in the manufacture of its products and the growth of the company. For instance, when a man joins GMH, every encouragement and amenity is available to ensure his training and advancement over a lengthy period of years. In this connection, GMH is particularly proud of its 25-year club. As the name implies, membership is open only to employees who have completed 25 years in the service of the company. The GMH 25-year club was founded in 1949. Since then, 1,067 employees have qualified for membership, and the majority are still with the company. Inaugural dinners are now being held in each state to admit this year's members, each of whom receives a suitably inscribed gold watch. In other ways, too, GMH takes care of its employees. There is a suggestion plan offering money prizes of up to £1,000 for ideas that will increase efficiency and production. The GMH Group Life Assurance Plan provides assurance protection to both hourly rate and salaried personnel. GMH apprenticeships carry free training and diploma courses at senior technical schools. Cadetships provide special free schooling and time off for study. And under the GMH Overseas Scholarship Plan, suitable technical candidates are selected each year for specialized courses at the General Motors Institute in America. GMH, General Motors Holdens, a link in the chain of Australia's progress, a partner in Australia's future. Here is the final act in the General Motors R production of Invitation to Murder.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. You've given a very frank account of the events leading up to the terrible tragedy. But before I ask you to continue with your account of that fatal day, there are a couple of points I'm sure the jury would like to have made clear. This visit your wife said she made to a specialist in London, did she amplify that at all at a later date?
Yes, she spoke of it on the day that...
Quite. Then no doubt you'll be telling the jury about that in its proper context. Did she tell you which specialist she went to see?
No, she would never tell me that.
I see. Then there is no means of checking with the specialist.
No. I asked her several times, but she wouldn't discuss it.
Then I take it your relations were still somewhat strained.
They got worse. She humiliated me in every possible way, even at the works in front of the staff.
Which brings me to the second point. She still attended her business then, in spite of her health.
Yes, at any rate for another month or so. Then she gradually took to going less and less.
Didn't she give any explanation to the staff at the works?
Well, she said she was a little run down and was going to take things easy for a while.
So she didn't tell anyone the real reason?
Not as far as I know.
Didn't you tell anyone?
Well, no. Janet wouldn't allow it. She told me on no account was anybody to know.
Did she give any reason for this attitude?
She said she couldn't stand people making a fuss and that it was her business and her business alone as to how and when she died.
Didn't you try and reason with her about this somewhat odd attitude?
Oh, it was impossible to reason with Janet. She said that I was there to do what I was told, and if I didn't, I'd have to take the consequences.
Her own doctor was attending her. You have heard his testimony that she never gave him any idea that there was anything seriously wrong with her.
Well, of course she didn't tell him. She said no one could do anything for her, so no one was going to know.
Quite so. I think that gives the jury a good idea of Mrs. Stone's attitude of mind. Now, regarding the evidence of the maid, Elsie Charters, concerning the fatal day, you've heard what she said about the letter to Mr. Bryant. The letter itself has been produced in evidence. Do you dispute any of this?
Oh, no. No, it's all quite true, but there's another reason for it. You see, I was down at the works that day. Janet was always sending me on errands like a messenger. And she gave Elsie the letter before I came back.
Oh, Elsie, I want you to take this letter for me.
To the post, madam?
No, I want you to take it round yourself. It's very important, so I want you to go right away.
Yes, madam. Is there anything you want before I go?
No, Mr. Stone will be back shortly. Is the address plain?
Mr. L. Bryant, Bryant and Windlesham, solicitors, 37 High Street, Cranford. Yes, madam.
Take a bus down and give it to Mr. Bryant personally.
I'll see he gets it.
When he's read the letter, I'll expect he'll come straight here. So you can ask him to bring you back with him.
Oh, thank you, madam. Is there anything else you want me to get while I'm out?
Oh, is there plenty of medicine there?
Yes, madam. Nearly a full bottle.
Good. Then I've got everything I want. Run along now. I think Mr. Stone has just come in.
Very good, madam.
Oh, Elsie, you can get tea now.
I'm afraid you'll have to wait, Martin. Elsie is going out on the message for me.
Oh, I could get it first, if you like, madam. It won't take a minute.
No, go right away, Elsie.
Yes, madam.
Couldn't she have waited 5 minutes?
No, I'd give the orders here.
I'm not likely to forget that.
See, you don't. Look out of the window and tell me if she's on her way.
She's just going down the drive. I don't see what can be so urgent.
You will. You will.
Are you up to something?
What a suspicious mind you have. What could I be up to?
Well, here's the stuff from the office for you to sign.
Put it down there. I'll attend to it later.
Well, some of it should go today.
I said I'd attend to it later.
All right, suit yourself.
I intend to. Pour me out a dose of medicine, will you? It's on the table over there.
All right. Here you are. Anything else?
Yes. Plug in that tape recorder and put it here beside me.
There you are. Is that all right?
Admirable. Now, sit down, Martin. We're going to have a little talk.
What about?
About you, so listen carefully. After all, this will be our last conversation.
What do you mean?
I mean I shall be dead very shortly. That gladdens your heart, doesn't it?
Well, what do you expect after the hell you've given me these last few months?
The hell you've been going through these last few months is nothing to the hell you're going through the next few months.
What new devilry are you up to now?
Elsie will have caught the bus by now.
Well?
She's on her way to my solicitors.
You've altered your will.
No, I've kept my word. You'll inherit my money, Martin. But I don't think you'll enjoy it very long.
Why not?
All these months you've been waiting for me to die, so that you could go to your girlfriend with a fortune. But it's not going to work out that way. You'll never see her again.
What have you done?
That letter Elsie's taken to my solicitors. I've told them I've just found out about the robbery.
Why, you devil, I could kill you for that.
Yes, that's exactly what Mr. Bryans will think. I've told him in the letter that I'm afraid you may try and kill me.
But I haven't. All right, I'll face them about the robbery. I'll tell them...
Ah, but it isn't a charge of robbery you'll have to face.
What then?
A charge of murder.
Murder? You're crazy.
No. Not when they find the evidence.
Evidence? What evidence?
They'll have the evidence of the robbery. Then when they find that you've been plotting with your mistress to kill me...
But that's ridiculous.
It was very silly of you to telephone that woman from here. But then you are very silly, Martin. It's wonderful how you can take a recording of a telephone conversation from an extension.
So that's why you got the tape recorder.
Yes. Now listen to what you said.
Hello?
Oh, Greta, this is Martin.
Who?
Martin. Look, I can't hear you very well.
Oh, just a minute, I'll shut the door. That's better. Hello, Martin, how are you?
What was all the noise?
Just a party in progress. I can't talk for long.
Well, Greta, darling, you sound odd.
Martin, it's all finished, you know. I told you a month ago it was no use coming on.
But everything's going to be all right now, darling.
You always say that.
But it is. We'll be able to get married in a few months.
What, you mean you and Janet have agreed to terms for a divorce?
No. In a month's time, Janet will be dead.
There we are. Interesting, isn't it? I wonder what the police will think of it.
But the rest... I told Greta you were ill. I explained what had happened.
And I didn't take it down. What a pity. This sounds quite different, doesn't it?
A tape recording can't be used as evidence.
Not in a court of law, no. But it'll give the police some ideas to work on, won't it?
The police won't have this. I'll see to that.
Don't bother to destroy it. You don't think this is the only recording, do you?
Where are the others?
In my safe, with the stolen money and the gun.
Well, where's the key to your safe? Give it to me.
Wouldn't you like it? You'd be able to destroy all the evidence. Oh, well, you'll have an interesting time hunting for it. Not very much time, of course. Mr. Bryant will be coming here at all speed when he reads my letter.
Well, I'll tell him you've taken leave of your senses, that you're crazy.
That you're crazy, you mean. You're beginning to get a bit crazy with fear already, aren't you, Martin? That's nothing to what's in front of you, though. You might, of course, plead insanity, but I don't think you'll get away with it.
Get away with what?
The murder charge.
You're raving. I haven't killed you. You know I haven't.
Oh, yes, I know. But it's the judge and jury you'll have to convince. You may find it difficult.
But this whole thing's fantastic. They'll know you died from natural causes. The specialist...
Didn't give my real name. And I haven't told my doctor. I haven't told anyone. Neither have you. I've seen to that.
But I'll tell them now. They'll examine you. They'll find out.
Yes, they'll find out. They'll find the poison.
Poison? What nonsense are you talking?
The poison I put in my medicine. The medicine you gave me.
Oh, no. You couldn't.
Don't confuse the unlikely with the impossible, Martin. I've taken an easy way out for myself. Quite painless and peaceful. And I've arranged an appointment for you with the hangman.
But it isn't true. You couldn't do such a thing. It'd be murder.
That's exactly what the police will think.
You won't get away with it. I'll...
Going to pour the medicine away, Martin. Be sure you hide the bottle and hide it quickly. They'll still find it, you know. They'll search until they do find it, no matter how small the fragments. And what are you going to say when they ask where the medicine is? Elsie will remember there was a full bottle. I carefully drew her attention to it.
Oh, Janet, you can't do this monstrous thing. You can't die, knowing you're going to kill me.
There's nothing that gives me more pleasure. I'm dying happy, knowing I've settled everything.
I'll ring the doctor. I'll tell him now.
Yes, do that. He might get here before I die. That would be perfect. It'll be so nice to tell him how you poisoned me. Changed mind. What a pity. I should have enjoyed forgiving you with my dying breath. Would have been such a nice touch, don't you think?
Janet, have mercy. You can't be so inhuman.
Beginning to get really frightened now, aren't you, Martin?
You must write a note. Tell them you committed suicide. Now, here's a pen and paper. For pity's sake, write and tell them that you did it. Tell them that you've taken poison.
Yes, I'll write. And tell them you've murdered me.
No! Janet, have mercy. Have pity. You've had your revenge. You're driving me mad. I'll do anything. Anything you say, only write and tell them.
Just think. If you had the key of my safe, you could destroy the other evidence. And anyway, you could take the money and escape. You might get out of the country.
Yes. Yes, it's a chance. Janet, give it to me. Well, tell me where it is. You can't be so heartless as to condemn me without a chance. The key, Janet. The key.
The key?
Oh, you've got it.
Yes, I had it all the time. Here, in my hand. Such a little key.
Well, give it to me.
No, keep back. Unless you want me to swallow it.
Janet, give me that key.
You might almost call it the key of life or death. I put it in my mouth. Watch my throat as I swallow.
Oh, no, you don't. Give me that key. Spit it out.
You're choking me.
Give me the key. Give me the key.
No. Martin, I haven't...
You're not going to swallow it. Give it to me. Janet?
John Martin Stone, after having had a fair trial, you have been found guilty of willful murder. I must say that on the evidence they have heard, I cannot see that the jury could have returned any other verdict. Have you anything to say before I pass sentence?
Yes, it wasn't murder. Janet meant me to kill her.
She knew she was dying, and she planned it all. Don't you see? She planned it from the very beginning. I didn't mean to strangle her. She told me she'd taken poison to get me hanged. She told me.
You are admitting now, as you did in the witness box at your trial, that you killed your wife. The only defense that you have offered is your story that your wife told you she had taken poison. But as you heard from the evidence given by the pathologist, there was no trace of poison to be found either in her body or in the medicine. In fact, there is not a single shred of evidence to support your story of your wife's attempted suicide. In any case, even if it were true, according to the law, you are still guilty of murder. Of course, had they been able to believe your story, the jury might have seen fit to add a recommendation for mercy to their verdict. The fact that they have not done so shows that they have, quite rightly, given no credence to your fantastic assertions. I have therefore no other course than to pronounce the prescribed sentence. John Martin Stone, the sentence of this court is that you be taken to a prison with a lawful place of execution and there hanged by the neck until you are dead.
And so ends the General Motors Hour production of Invitation to Murder, written by Frank Rennie, in which you heard the following players. As the judge, Jeffrey King. Elsie, Patty Crocker. Davis, Charles McCallum. The inspector, Brian Anderson. Defense counsel, John Alden. Greta, Wynne Nelson. And as Martin and Janet Stone, you heard our stars, Nigel Lovell and Thelma Scott. General Motors Hour is directed by Harry Harper, who produced tonight's play. 2 weeks from tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the General Motors Hour will present Tony, Her Son, an original play by the American playwright Richard Wendley. It is a powerful story of the possessive love of a mother for her son. We shall star Lyndall Barber. And now, a closing message. A good car is a prized possession. To get the best out of your investment, you need good roads to run it on. If you're not happy about the state of the roads you use, wherever you are, wherever you go, talk, think, and campaign for better roads. And remember, 2 weeks from tonight, the General Motors Hour production of Tony, Her Son, starring Lyndall Barber. Now, this is John Dee saying goodnight to you all from the General Motors Hour, which now signs off from the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations throughout Australia.